Are you ready for the deadliest news, issues, comments, and people? Well, on now is National Talk Black with Trendy Trev, going live from BBM through the National Indigenous Radio Service. Give us a call now, 1-800-422-416. National Talk Black with Trendy Trev.
Yes, a very good morning, you Delhi mob. Welcome back to your yarning circle, the Murray Grapevine. It is National Talk Black. It is I, Trevor Tim, Trendy Trev, Murray from the Curry. I'm your host for your daily program, National Talk Black, and I come to you live from First Nation Radio Station here in Cairns on Yidinji Country as BBM Bumbabrip Media, 98.7 FM. And we go across the nation thanks to NERS, National Radio Service. You can have your say by calling us on that daily number, 1-800-422-416. You can text a brother as well, 045-714-0550. And we get our Facebook page as well, BBM 987 FM. And I'd like to acknowledge traditional owners of the land where we broadcast from, and to all our traditional owners across this beautiful country of ours. Welcome back, National Talk Black. Have you saying yarn up strong? Let's open up a cookie Yalanji girl, Adrian Thomas. Do enjoy.
Sacred sign. Come shine your light, brighten up the world. Cuckoo Yalanji, cuckoo Yalanji girl. Come shine your light, brighten up the world. Cuckoo Yalanji, cuckoo Yalanji, cuckoo Yalanji, cuckoo Yalanji girl. Shadows when you go, your love blows out my soul and down, down into the earth. Come shine your lights, brighten up the world. Cuckoo Yalanji, cuckoo Yalanji, cuckoo Yalanji girl. Come shine your lights, brighten up the world. Cuckoo Yalanji, cuckoo Yalanji, cuckoo Yalanji, cuckoo Yalanji girl. Brighten up the world. Cuckoo Yalanji, cuckoo
like a star.
On your mom, it's me, Bushtaka Bungie, and you're listening to the National Talk Black program. Makaran.
National Talk Black, 1-800-422-416.
Yeah, the choppy number again is 1-800-422-416. Call that number. Yana's yours truly, Trevor Tim, Trendy Trev Murray from the Curry. I'm your host for your daily program, National Talk Black, and come to you live from First Nation Radio Station here in Cairns on Yindinji Country. BBM Bumba Brip Media, 98.7 FM, and we go across the nation thanks to the NERS, National News Radio Service. Yana, strong new mob. Looking at the news here for today, NT News, ILSC appoints Gilbert Tobin to assess Voyages resort sale. The famed resort bought for $300 million could change hands with the Indigenous Land and Sea Corporation reviewing sale options of the site. The Indigenous owned Voyages Indigenous Tourism Australia operators of the Ayers Rock Resort at Yallara in the Red Centre have started assessing future options for the world-renowned holding, which could see it sold to a private sector. The resort, which encompasses six sprawling accommodation hubs in the shadow of the rock, including a five-star resort, three- and four-star hotels, and a campground, has been hampered by a lack of flights since COVID, given Virgin is not set to recommence flights until mid-year. According to a statement from the Indigenous Land and Sea Corporation, ILSC, which controls Voyages, the key objective is to fulfil its statutory obligations of returning land to First Nations people, and in doing so, create Indigenous benefit for traditional owners and local, regional and national First Nations peoples. ILSC has appointed Gilbert Tobin and Greenhill to assess with the assessment process, including understanding market interest in the Ayers Rock Resort operations. With the objective in mind, the assessment is focused on exploring potential alternative ownership options for the operations at Ayers Rock. The ILC purchased the asset from property company GPT Group in 2011 in one of the largest sales in the hotel sector in a deal worth around $300 million. Back in 2013, the owners of the Ayers Rock Resort wrote down the book value of the resort by $62 million after admitting that it faced serious financial challenges and high-profile business figures despite departed the board. So there it is, news there in the tourism front, and with the resort out at Northern Territory, Yallara, the resort there for a lot of employment of a lot of First Nation people. So look, it's a great vehicle as such, and just see what happens in that space in regarding selling of the resort. Stay tuned to your daily program, National Talk Black. Trendy Trev here, Murray from the Curry, and coming to you live here from First Nation Radio Station here in Cairns on Yindinji Country. BBM Bumper Bip Media, 98.7 FM. You are Yana with Trendy Trev Murray from the Curry. Look, we're going to catch up a yarn with Professor Julian Thomas, project lead, and our MIT led report highlights the negative effects of local bank closures are further compounded by the lack of affordability and reliable internet in regional and remote communities, which would affect a lot of our mob who are living in communities. So regional bank closures are further disadvantaging remote and First Nations. So with that, let's catch up with Professor Julian Thomas on the line. Professor Julian, good morning. How are you?
Good morning. I'm fine. Thank you.
Thank you very much for coming to the program. Where are you based, Professor?
I'm down in Melbourne.
All right, fantastic. I'm up here in Cairns, far north Queensland. So talking about this important space, we're talking about regional bank closures are further disadvantaging remote First Nation communities. So it's found that First Nation communities still rely on face-to-face interactions with their banks, despite the growing prevalence of online banking. So we're still behind the eight ball in this sense.
Absolutely. And it's from what we're looking at in terms of the evidence that we've gathered in this area over the last few years, it's very clear to us that that face-to-face services are going to be really important for some time to come in remote and regional communities and not just the First Nations communities, of course, but more broadly as well.
Exactly. The banks are not accommodating for the face-to-face process?
Well, I think the issue is that they, despite the fact that, you know, there has been a lot of work done on this now, and we do have a very clear picture of what people's needs are.
Sure. But we're talking about a service here, aren't we? So if the needs are face-to-face in some areas, then the bank should provide that service, should they not?
We're talking about an essential service.
Yes, exactly.
And it's critically important that people can access decent banking services where they're living.
Mm-hmm.
It's not going to be sufficient. I think this is really very, very clear in far north Queensland and elsewhere to, you know, be relying on a branch that might be 100 kilometres or more away from where you live. I mean, that is going to be totally inadequate. And it's going to fail to meet people's needs. So we think this is a really significant issue. We think it raises safety issues, especially around people's capacity to manage their own money.
Yes.
And to do that safely. So while we understand that there are, of course, a lot of people, including people in communities, who are very happy to use websites and online banking apps when they can do so.
Sure.
We know that. The issue is that in remote communities especially, there are a large number of people who aren't in that position.
Yes.
They may not have the skills, they may not have the opportunity to gain the skills and confidence they need. We know that there are significant affordability barriers, so
yes.
The cost of connection is a real issue. And of course also, we just don't have the quality communication infrastructure in a lot of these remote communities which can support a good quality, reliable internet connection. So, you know, even where people do have devices and skills and the resources to be connected, often they can't do that in their community. They have to go into town to do that sort of thing.
So it's up to the bank to provide service for both sides of the fence, you could say.
We believe so.
So
what's important is that, I mean, clearly, as we're saying, lots of people will benefit from digital services, and the banks will, you know, there are cost efficiencies for the banks in moving online. But where they are saving money, we're saying they should be making sure that some of those savings are dedicated to making sure that they continue to provide face-to-face services for people who need them.
Yes. Professor Gillian, a led report by RMIT, what do you do with this information? Do you take it to government? Do you take it to the banks? I mean, what do we do with this information and put meat on the bone?
We take it to government, and we take it to anybody who's willing to use it.
Okay.
And look, I mean, I think things are changing.
Sure.
We, you know, there is a lot going on in this area now. There's a growing recognition that digital connections, that communications are a really important part of the whole framework. I mean, if we are going to talk about closing the gap or something like that, if you're thinking about education, if you're thinking about health services, if you're thinking about people getting access to work, really being connected is a critical part of the answer to that. So it's not just about banking, of course. It's all kinds of things.
It is.
And so we see this area of, you know, what we call the digital gap as a really important part of the whole picture of really addressing the disadvantage in access to services that we see in a lot of communities. We're certainly taking that very vigorously to government, and we think that at various levels, governments have begun to listen.
Sure, fantastic. Well, the report has shed light on the situation for remote, especially for our mob. So, look, it's a great report, and thank you very much for sharing with us, Professor Gillian. And, look, we'll talk soon, my friend, and all the best.
Thanks so much. Great to talk to you.
Thank you.
Bye for now.
A beautiful yarn there. Professor Gillian Thomas, project lead on the RMIT-led report, highlights the negative effects of local bank closures are further compounded by the lack of affordability and reliable internet in region and remote communities. It's found remote First Nations communities still rely on face-to-face interactions with their banks, despite the growing prevalence of online banking. So great to have reports like so we can take this information to the government to seek for change or support, or the banks to provide the service on both sides of the fence, either online or face-to-face. Have your say, Yarn Up Strong, add to the conversation, 1-800-422-416. Maybe you want to talk about that topic. Maybe you want my bank details so you can put money in my account. Either way, all is here on your daily program, National Talk Black. 1-800-422-416.
Roll my toy, patoli man toy, pa, roll my toy, pa. Roll my toy, but only my toy, but roll 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 my toy, roll my toy, but 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 roll my toy, but
Salasia come, Salasia come. Killing and pillaging, they don't give a damn. Burning the villagers in a demonic craze. Broadswords, knives, and their muskets ablaze. War, Salasia come. Listen to my drum.
Roll my toy, but 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 roll my toy, but
Salasia come, Salasia come. Pia drum, Miriam from Lassendam. Run to the south, ya be alarm. An old man and his wife were hacked with a knife. Oh, Salasia come, listen to my drum.
Roll my toy, but 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 Cicero, but roll my toy, 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 but
Salasia come, Salasia come. Cometa Milram from Sebek to Kiam. Might get their bones lay exposed to bleach. In the sun, there's blood on the beach. War, Salasia come, listen to my drum. Your future's bright at last. Remember your past. You will make those same mistakes again. Your future's bright at last. But if you forget your past, you will make those same mistakes again. You lay buried on the shores of Werbadu. I hear your spirit cry like the call of the boo. You call to come, listen to my drum. You call to come, listen to my drum. My drum.
Yenda banapi bamanda, yenda bakat yenda bamanda. We got Talk Black with Uncle Trevor, Murray from the Curry. Call in on 1-800-422-416-98.7 FM. BBM.
Yeah, welcome back to your daily program, National Talk Black. Yarning with the Bully One, Trevor Tim, Trendy Trev, Murray from the Curry. And I come to you live from First Nation Radio Station here in Cairns on your Dingy Country. BBM, Bumba Bip Media, 98.7 FM across the nation. Thanks to NERS, National Radio Service. Now, the Indigenous Literacy Foundation, ILF, is delighted to announce the appointment of three new board members. With that, we're going to catch up a yarn with Ben Bowen, Indigenous Literacy Foundation CEO. And we do have Ben on the line. And a very good morning, Ben. How are you, Ben? Hello, Ben.
Hey, Trevor. How are you?
I'm well. Thank you very much for coming to the program, brother. Before we start, let the mob know who you mob, where you're from.
Yeah, I'm Ben Bowen. I'm a Wiradjuri Gundagara man, retired up to Hopewell Way.
Yes.
And born and bred down in Sydney.
All right, fantastic. Now, you are the CEO of the Indigenous Literacy Foundation, and delighted to announce you have three new board members appointed. So introduce them. Who are the three new board members?
Yeah, absolutely. We've got Nicole Aberdy, who's a barrister and a legal academic for over 20 years, who's been highly involved with the ILF for a number of years now. We also have Amara Barnes, who's a Wiradjuri woman, who's coming from a big history with SBS and Westpac and PwC.
Yes.
And also Thomas Mayer, who doesn't need any introduction.
Yeah. Well, you scored well there. My brother scored well. So how many board of directors on board?
These guys will bring us up to about 9 board members this year. So it's a big, exciting stage for the ILF that we're growing in the work that we're doing with communities. And it's been a call for our board to grow with us as well and get more skills and better representation from broader community as well. So
fantastic.
Exciting time for us.
And so with for our listeners out there, just to explain ILF, Indigenous Literacy Foundation, and the work that you guys do, please.
Yeah, the Literacy Foundation, we deliver books into remote communities. So at the moment, I think we're supporting about 430 communities across Australia. We deliver up to about 130,000 books each and every year out to those communities. And out of those books, 54% of them are from Aboriginals and Torres Strait Islander creators and artists. And part of the work we're building on at the moment is our publishing arm. So really working with communities to work to publish their stories into commercial operations so that they earn royalty rates.
Yes.
And also working with them about home languages. So a lot of bilingual books publishing for the international markets and making sure that community can speak and write and celebrate their own languages.
Fantastic. So it becomes a beautiful platform, a vehicle as such to nurture our language, keep it alive, but also a business entity as well.
Look, absolutely, and it's one of the biggest challenges for our kids. You know, we all want them to have a good education and get out there and have all the opportunities in the world, but sometimes we just need to show them some direct links, and that's what the ILF's trying to do through this work is, you know, our mobs are known for their ability to still tell stories and our ability to, you know, keep those good yarns going over days and days and days. But teaching our kids how to write those stories into books and how to cement their ideas actually gives them a pathway into an income and into a career.
Yeah, beautiful. And ILF, how long has ILF been operating for?
In all its forms for about 20 years now. 20 years, so we've been around for a very long time. But, yeah, it's really the last couple of years we've really been accelerating through the support of the community around Australia.
Good, fantastic. And you holding the reins, how long have you been CEO, brother?
Oh, a bit over 2.5 years now. Yeah. I've had the privilege of sitting in the hot seat.
Enjoying that journey?
I absolutely love it, and it's a huge privilege to be able to work with so many of our mob around the country, but also, like the as we said today, the board members that we are attracting. It's a huge privilege to be able to have the opportunity to work so closely with them.
Well, look, congratulations with the three new board members, Nicole, Amara and Thomas. Fantastic. I think you scored well. I think they've scored well. Fantastic organisation. Good yarning with you, Double B. Ben Bowen, all the best, and we'll keep in touch, my brother.
Lou. Thank you.
Take care. Bye-bye. Adelia yarn there, Ben Bowen, Indigenous Literacy Foundation CEO, and announcing three new board members who've been appointed, Nicole Abadi, Amara Barnes, and Thomas Mayo. And look, fantastic leaders in their own right. So great to see them at the table with ILF and look, steering that fantastic organisation into the future, and a great platform for our mob, especially our young ones at schools and getting education. Fantastic. Have you seen Yana Strong, National Talk Black?
Long before we felt that sting, white man, white lord, white.
Yeah, Solid Rock, DH, Dark and Hanson, David Hudson, big shout out. This is your daily program, National Talk Black, Have Your Say and Yarn Up Strong. Daily number here, 1-800-422-416. Call that number, Yarn Up, yours truly, Trevor Tim, Trinity Trev Murray from Macquarie. I come to you live from First Station Radio Station here in Cairns on your dingy country. That's BBM Bummer, Bit Media, 98.7 FM. And we go across the nation thanks to NERS, National News Radio Service. 1-800-422-416. Now, children's early development continues to worsen for First Nations Australians, which is a sad situation. We're going to catch up a yarn now with Professor Rhonda Oliver, leading researcher. Figures released by the Federal Government Productivity Commission show early childhood development for First Nations Australians has worsened over the past decade and a half. With that, we're going to catch up with Professor Rhonda on the line. Good morning. How are you, Professor?
Oh, good, thanks. How are you?
I'm well. Thank you very much for coming to the program. Where are you based?
I'm in Perth. I'm on Wadjuknunga land, and yeah, it's a cool day. It's been
a cool
hot
day.
For
beautiful.
A few days,
yes,
but
yes.
We're happy for the release.
Take the coolness. I hear you. Thank you very much for coming to the program. Look, a sad situation. Children's early development continues to worsen for First Nations Australians. So, what do we need to do? What does the government need to do? This is the 21st century, and this shouldn't be happening.
I know, it's an absolute travesty. I've visited a number of remote and very remote schools. And, you know, teachers try really hard, but things need to change. Mm. And the priority in the report where we hear about the need to have strong partnerships, that's certainly the way forward, working with families and communities of the kids we're teaching and working with them together collaboratively to do this. And, of course, doing this in a two-way approach so that we're taking on board the students' cultures and understanding and home language and building on that and not treating these kids or having the narrative around deficits, what these kids can and can't do. So, you know, I think we need to change our approach, get families and communities involved in joint decision-making.
Yeah, well, they say if Gough Whitlam came back to life, the only thing he would see the same is the curriculum. You know what I mean?
Yeah, look, and that's so important. We've got to change what we do in school. You know, take the kids out on country and learn with them and from them and build on what they already know, and especially through language.
Yes.
And I think we forget how much they already have and you know, that's what we need to do. The national curriculum allows you to do that. People think we have to change, but it's being creative as teachers looking at it and saying, how can we make it appropriate for these kids?
Exactly. Well, if you've got their attention, anybody's attention, they're open for the conversation, so to speak. So we need to find out how to grab their attention, and it's different ways, different methods for different students, isn't it?
Absolutely. You can't treat everybody the same. You know, it's different. It's contextual. You've got to look where they are, what they're doing.
Yes.
You know, we've got some fantastic things happening, but it's really ad hoc. It's, you know, there's not this ongoing support of looking at this two-way approach. You know, there's lots of educators saying there's lots of teachers trying to do it. But as I said, it's really ad hoc, and we really need to start where the kids are at and what they need and suit their style. And when you do that, when you take a culturally appropriate curriculum, it builds their feeling of positive self-identity of who they are, where they come from, and then you can build on that and it enhances their well-being. So school's a positive place, not a negative place.
And do you feel as though that some of our teachers should be taught or through their education as they're going through their degrees in university, become a teacher? There's got to be another format regarding engagement or something to that effect?
Look, I think it's interesting. I've been working in universities for more than 30 years, and we often hear what we don't do.
Yeah.
And a lot of it is nonsense. I mean, I heard last week teachers aren't taught phonics in universities, and somebody's response was, well, if it's in the curriculum, we teach it because that's what we need to do.
Yes.
But it's opening up and you know, also looking at who our teachers are. And we really should be investing in getting many more Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islanders in schools for those kids. We interviewed hundreds of people in remote communities, a project I did with John Gunther and a number of others, John's at Bachelor Institute in Darwin, and the people we were interviewing, local people, interviewed by local researchers, they were saying, you know, we want our teachers teaching our kids.
Yeah, black on black. Black on black.
And the kids were saying, you know, when we have Aboriginal teachers, they understand us. They understand our family. Yeah. They understand our culture. They understand our traditions. And we feel good. Mm. It's not to say we can't have non-Aboriginal teachers.
No,
we
can't.
It's got to be. Mm-hmm. Yeah, but when we have more Aboriginal teachers, at our university we've been helping Aboriginal teaching assistants to become fully qualified teachers.
Yes.
And we know the difference that's going to make. It's not just hundreds of kids. Thousands of kids will be impacted by having role models, people who look like them.
Yeah, that becomes an inspirational. If that's here, I can become a teacher because that black teacher is a teacher. I can too.
Exactly. And isn't that what we want?
Exactly. Yes.
And it's the understanding that they bring to the context. So, you know, say for instance, some businesses happening in a community, some non-Aboriginal teachers don't get it. They say, well, why can't they come to school today?
Yeah,
Aboriginal teachers, they know why sorry business is so important culturally and accommodate that in their pedagogy.
Exactly. Listen, thank you very much for the conversation, a very important conversation. So with this information, you now take it to, what, the Educational Minister? Is that how it works?
Our report actually went through last year because it was a federally funded research
project. So it's in the in-tray.
But I mean, I have to say there is some goodwill, and the fact that some of these priorities have come out, that they are really in line with what a number of us educators have been saying for a long time.
Yeah.
Let's work with families. Let's work in communities. Let's make it culturally appropriate. And then we might not be having the same results. Because if we keep doing the same things that we've always done, nothing changes.
Insanity. And the thing is it takes a community to raise a child, doesn't it?
Exactly. Yeah. It absolutely does. I know that as a grandmother. But it's
lovely.
it's everybody that does that. Yeah, absolutely. It is a village.
Professor Rhonda, thank you very much. A beautiful conversation. All the best to you. You have a great day.
You too. Thanks so much.
Bye-bye. A beautiful yarn there. Professor Rhonda Oliver, her name is, leading researcher, figures released by the Federal Government Productivity Commission show early childhood development for First Nation Australians has worsened over the past decade and a half. Closing the Gap report states only 11 of a target 19 socioeconomic outcomes for First Nation Australians are improving, with four of these socioeconomic outcomes worse now than in 2008. Federal Government to establish a National Commissioner for Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander Children and Young People in response to Closing the Gap report. And we had that conversation early in the week. This is your daily program, National Talk Black. Add to the conversation here, 1-800-422-416 for Trinity Trev Murray from the Curry, your host for your daily program, National Talk Black. And we're live here at the First Nation Radio Station here in Cairns on Yidinji Country, BBM Bumrabrip Media, 98.7 FM. And we go across the nation thanks to NERS, National Radio Service, to Delhi.
Love is what's needed today. Love is the better way. And love unites us all. So beautiful. So many tears in so many years. Life's not fair. Does even care? No feeling of separation involved. 'Cause we are one throughout the day to the dropping of the sun. throughout the day to the dropping of the sun. Throughout the day till the moonlight shines on us. Today, and love is the better way. Love unites us all, and love is so beautiful. Just shake it off. Let the hatred drop. Just live your life, 'cause love is always on your side. 'Cause love is always on your side. 'Cause love is always on your side.
Welcome back to your daily program, National Talk Black. Have your say, yarn up strong, 1-800-422-416. We got Selwyn on the line. Selwyn, good morning, Selwyn. Hey, Selwyn, where are you at? Selwyn, not Selwyn. We'll try and get Selwyn back. Sorry, Selwyn, give us a call back, brother. 1-800-422-416. Hope you, Deadly Mob, having a deadly day. And this daily program is a one-hour program. We come to you live from First Station Radio Station here in Cairns. BBM, Bummer Brip Media, 98.7 FM. Across the nation, thanks to news. I'll just check with Selwyn again. You there, Selwyn? Good morning.
Yeah, brother.
Good morning.
Brother, yeah. Four kangaroo and one guarana. Okay, one you. Brother, you're bullshitting. You were down there, down town, right?
We wish.
my boy down there, he went from Trinity Bay, brother.
To watch the game tonight, yep.
Yeah. I think Charlie Bird did mob. That's where they get their players from, can't wait from T-Bay now.
Which is great, brother.
Brother, you know those posters you got there?
Mm.
What do you do with them after?
In the bin, brother.
Is that yours?
Yeah, hey? In the bin. There, Core Flutes out there promoting us for the up-and-coming election, yes.
I thought you might have some kind of, like say, Yarrabah or other community, have some kind of competition for them to put moustache and all them what.
I went for an afro.
And whoever wins, you know, brother, that might be a dollar coin donation.
Yes.
And that money could go towards
community.
Someone, eh, brother? And yeah. But anyway, brother, good luck if you do win. But whether you do win or don't win, brother, you got clout. Yeah. I think you should use it to get them Black Comedy Mob to come and do a thing up here. and it's real. Up to Gulf and Cape. I think they went to TI. They're looking for comedians. But they never done cares, brother. You might have some pull there, brother, you know? Get them to come up here.
I'm a motivator.
That's right, brother. That's right. I forgot about that. Yeah. Anyway, brother, have a good weekend, brother.
You too, my brother. Thank you very much. That's Selwyn, regular caller here on your daily program, National Talk Black. Yarn up, strong yoga. 8 minutes left on program. 1-800-422-416. Here's Barry Cedric. Good morning, Barry Cedric. Hope you're well. Good morning, Yoruba.
Where you from, my brother? I come from there, from another side. Me you call a Kungai, from Yoruba where my people reside. All us Aboriginal people are divided into 500 different tribes whom the white man tried to conquer when he first come here to Dubai. You may call it divide and conquer, hey, but no more, you've let a lie. This land belongs to us Abos, and we'll stay right here until we die. But I say, hey, where you from, my brother? I come from there, now not a side.
From my brother Barry Cedric here on your daily program, we got Tony Gibbs online. Tony, good morning.
Good morning, Trevor.
How are you, mate?
I'm really recuperating. Good. Had a big day in town yesterday. I saw your poster up there outside Balaclava School here, which Sherwin mentioned.
Yes, yes, yes.
Good picture, mate.
Fine looking specimen.
Well, you're standing up there in counties. Yeah, I went there yesterday to get the stitches out I've had in a week.
Oh, yeah, yeah. All good now? Really disappointed. On the mend, brother, on the mend?
Yeah, well, I got there and they do biopsy on those little skin cancer things and if they don't dig deep enough. Yeah, they had to recut the stitches and they had to do it again and dig deeper, so I come away with more stitches.
Mm.
And there's another one between my nose and my lip. I've got a face full of stitches, but then I took all my legal documents that I've been doing all week for the graveyard situation, the crosses.
Yeah.
I delivered them all to the agent in Cairns and they're on their way to human rights. And
yep.
I'm just rounding the week
off. Fighting a good fight, brother. Fighting a good fight. Fighting for what you believe in, brother.
Oh, yeah, mate. I was up to my neck in paperwork and I lost my glasses and another pair I couldn't wear because I had stitches right in the corner. I really suffered for the week, but I did the job. I can win and I can relax now. And
Donna, be proud of you, bro.
Yeah, well, I'm... Jewel, like I said, mate, they've robbed her grave and I did the best I could and she's laying there with no identification now.
Yes. And you put it that way, so true, isn't it?
Oh, yeah, mate. Mm. Yes, you know, it's true. This is the worst thing I could ever imagine done to older people suffering and they do this, mate. So this... There's a big package in there with the agents and it'll be on its way to human rights and soon and stuff. And I've just got to wait now, but I've got to mend myself. I've got this white fellow, Migaloo curse down under. I get skin cancer. Because,
be strong, be strong. But great to hear that you're on the mend, brother.
Yeah, I'm on the mend. And everybody have a good weekend. You too. And all that.
You too. Thank you, Tony Gibbs. Yarn up strong there, Tony Gibbs. Come to time, Trendy Trevor's going to sign off for today's program, you mob. Another week done. Thank you very much. Done and dusted. Back in the hot seat again on Monday. and that deadly number 1-800-422-416. Like I said, you can always text or go on our Facebook page. Text number 045-714-0550 and Facebook BBM 987FM. But thank you for your company, your mod. Look, stay black, stay deadly, stay strong. Have a great weekend. Look after each other. And we'll be on it very soon. And got the news coming up via NERS, National Digital Radio Service. Big shout out, NERS. Thank you. Too deadly.
I asked that for worry. Worry belong I like a semi-colleging. And you cannot take that.